He's correct. It's me. Okay, somebody's trying to call. Let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. The phone number is 903-586-5257. This is Health Essentials.
I'd like to speak with station manager Randy Featherston. Please.
I'm sorry. Try it one more time and I'll get you right in. 903-586-5257. Surely I can make it work this time. See, what you did on me is you jumped the gun. You started dialing before I actually went on the air. Okay, I'll get it right this time. Okay, yesterday... Well, let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Who's got the...
I'm still ringing for some reason.
I have no idea. What is that going on in my head or your head, too?
Hi, this is KVJS 90.3 FM.
I thought I hung up on
that. If you'd like to speak with the station manager, Randy Featherston, please dial extension 11.
Yeah, just call back.
If you would like to speak with Wendy...
Okay, I made that too difficult. Just call back 903-586-5257. I wish I knew how to disable that answering machine. That would probably get me through some of these phone calls, wouldn't it? All right, the number here is 903-586-5257. All right, we're going to try it this time. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
I don't hear any ringing in the background. This is good.
Thank God.
That's right.
Hey, I've got a question. I know you don't remember me. It's been a while since I've been in there. But I don't take medicine. I really don't like it and stuff, and I've had bad effects with it. But my doctor said that I ought to get a tetanus shot, and I wanted to check, make sure that, you know, since I don't take medicine, is it going to weaken my immune system?
Oh, boy. But why does he want you to take a tetanus shot?
Because I hadn't had one in 30 years.
Okay, it's not because you stepped on a rusty nail out in the garden?
Nothing like that at all.
Did a pack of wolves surround you with rusty teeth and bite you?
Nope, nothing.
Okay. I don't know, it's, you know what, it's kind of funny you asked me about the tetanus vaccine, because for the last 30 minutes I've been studying tuberculosis vaccines and their effect on the coronavirus, and it's got to be one of the most intriguing topics that I've covered in a while. Oh, goodness. You know what? I'm at a little bit of a loss here, because here's what I'm trying to draw from my brain. What I want to know is what is the occurrence of a tetanus vaccine and how it may potentially benefit the human being, or it could have a negative side effect. And let me tell you
what I'm thinking.
Well, especially for a woman that knows her body very well, and she knows that if she has like a drug or something that's foreign, it may not react well with her. And that's kind of what you've told me, is when you take drugs, it does not go well with your body, does it?
No, they killed me with morphine once and had to bring me back. So, no, thank you.
Oh, so you've died once, huh?
I think I did.
Well, I think in the book of Hebrews, there's a verse written for you. It's appointed unto a woman once to die and then the judgment. Is that it?
I don't want to die. Well, thank you.
You know, if I just very, very simply say the most problematic vaccines that have absolutely the highest rate of negative, horrible side effects, one of those is death, is the MMR, the measles vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It is just horrific. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. Well, you probably do, but I'll go ahead and cover the topic just briefly. If you were to take a drug like, say, Tagamet, or if you had contact with Roundup, the weed killer, and all
that. Yeah,
I don't
like none of that stuff.
No, you stay clear of that. But what would happen is, if you came down with lymphoma or leukemia or a cancer, you'd probably be justifiable to sue the company and say, you knew this had a chance of causing lymphoma. But when it comes to vaccines, a law was passed where you cannot sue the manufacturer of vaccine. Can't
exactly.
Be done. There's vaccine courts. I think the maximum amount that you can get if you have a child that dies from an MMR, which this is just me talking, I have seen three children die in the last 31 years immediately following the MMR vaccine.
Wow.
So, but, you know, I still remember the very first one was a young mother. She said the baby was perfect and healthy, and they insisted on giving a full load of all the vaccines that they give up to the age of two at 2 weeks, and the child died promptly. And I'm going, that just cannot happen that way. Anyway, what I was going to say is the oldest vaccine that has ever been used is called the BCG vaccine. And I think it's been used successfully more than any other vaccine since the year 1921. And BCG is just an abbreviation for a French, it's like Bacillus Calmette Guérinto. I can't remember what it is. I'll look it up for you. But what they do is they give a tuberculosis, a living tuberculosis organism, for the purpose of trying to prevent tuberculosis in human beings, which I don't know if you know this or not, but there are not many things that will beat down your immune system or suppress your immune system like a chronic, continual tuberculosis infection. Have you ever seen the movie Wyatt Earp?
Yeah.
Remember Doc Holliday?
Mm-hmm.
I can see him in my mind right now. He's always got this pale complexion. He looks horrible. Sweat's coming out of him. He's coughing nonstop, but the guy can still, you know, back up Wyatt Earp, his buddy, when it comes to a gunfight. Anyway, I think I just wasted your time on that one. So the tetanus, I just need to go look up the stats on that because I'm just not familiar. But if you know yourself very well, your body does not do well when you consume pharmaceuticals or foreign things. And so I can give you a plan B.
Well, let me tell you something real quick. When I went in there to go get the shot, first of all, they didn't have that particular one. So she said, come back in the morning that they would have it in. I come back in the morning, they didn't have it in. So I'm thinking, God's telling me I don't need this shot.
Is the third time the charm?
I don't know. I told her I'd come in Mondays, but then I said, I don't think
so.
I'm
You're taking a step back and you're reconsidering the whole proposition, right?
Yes.
Okay. When's the last time you've heard of somebody contracting tetanus?
I really haven't.
That makes two of us.
Okay, good.
Okay, let me.
And we're all on the same page.
Well, let me say this right here. There is an element or a mineral that's found in nature. For example, if you tell me you just love the taste of, an ocean fish called halibut, or you love snow crab legs from the deep depths of the Alaskan Peninsula waters.
Love.
Well, but those would be very rich in a mineral called zinc.
You've got me on zinc already. I take zinc every day.
Well, I don't think you should stop with that because that's going to be the cornerstone, the mineral cornerstone of the immune system.
Yeah.
And that's what I looked up this morning, but I couldn't find my reference. I wanted to find out what is the correlation between people that have tuberculosis and zinc levels. Mm. Of course, you know what I was looking for. I wanted to find an article that said individuals that were very low in zinc were the ones that were most vulnerable to either succumbing to AIDS or HIV or tuberculosis. You can say it a bunch of different ways. But your body can only rise to the occasion and fight infection if you have zinc. Another player is vitamin C. You ever heard of vitamin C?
Got that too.
Okay. You ever heard of vitamin D3?
I've got D3 too.
Well, see, all those.
And K2? All those.
All those. Good. Well, all those items right there, they help your immune system respond more robustly when you have a foreign organism enter your nose or your mouth or, you know, get in your eye or your ear that would cause an infection.
Right.
And so I think that's like underutilized as far as a topic. What do we do to bolster and strengthen the immune system instead of running around like a chicken with their head cut off, say, when we get the corona vaccine, which I don't think is going to be the case. I find it, I mean, if I'm wrong, I don't mind admitting it at all. But this situation, I just think it's almost hope against hope, wanting a vaccine to do the job of our immune system for us.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't answer your question more precisely.
Strong. I don't need to be weakening.
There you go. There's that. Okay, that what you just said I think that's the best plan of all time. What can I do to maintain the strength of my immune response? And that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you have a really good day, ma'am.
You too. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the air this morning, there is a phone line officially open. This program is called Health Essentials. I'm Dr. Roy Morgan. The number is 903 or 903-586-5257. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Roy Morgan?
Oh, I'm good, buddy. How are you doing today?
Well, I mean, I'm doing pretty good, thank the Lord, but I could be a little better.
Well, what are we going to do to improve you just a little incrementally 1% better?
I'm wondering, I've noticed some varicose veins, especially a little more pronounced in my left leg, and I'm almost 50 years old, and just give you an idea. And I'm a lean guy, you know, I'm not heavy at all. Matter of fact, I've come to see you before about some things. And so you've met me even though if you can't picture in your mind.
You're not a truck driver, are you?
Yeah.
I'm joking. I knew who you were. Well, and you know, truck driving has one issue that maybe other professions don't have. You have this constant vibratory stress on the entire body. It just shakes your body, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, is that not only, and let me tell you another thing that might be a contributing factor, and then you could tell me if it is, but for years now I've been laying, when I go to bed I lay on my left side, because if I would lay on my right, I would wake up with sinus pain on the right side. And so naturally I would just lay down on my left, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have that problem. And so I'm wondering if that has pinched something in there, where I don't get where the blood can't pump back up the other side of the leg, you know, in the vein. Could that possibly be? Can that have something like that happen if you sleep like constantly on the same side?
Well, I think we have to pay attention to what you're saying, because if this is your normal habit and pattern and you're starting to see some varicose veins form in the lower left leg, I think I'd be a little bit foolish if I didn't say, oh, that's not real. No, there's got to be a reason behind it. And so let's just kind of tackle this topic and pick it apart piece by piece. Number one, there is a strong, strong genetic influence over varicose veins. And what I mean by that is, if you told me that your grandmother had horrible varicose veins and your mother had horrible varicose veins, or your father, I would say that most likely there's going to be a tendency toward you having that same issue or that same weakness. It's just a matter of what do we do to correct that. And so I'm going to propose three or four ideas to you. Number one, what do you do to counter sitting in a truck all day, moving around freight and cargo, you know, even if it's a short distance? Well, you've only got one option. You either spend some time, I'm not laughing, ha-ha, but the other day I had a lady in my office and she was saying, my knees are killing me. They pop nonstop. I have horrible pain. And in my office I have this $5 foam exercise roller that looks like the knobby tread of a tire. I think I bought it at Five Below for $5. But it works great. But I had her get on the floor and start to roll or put, do you know what I mean when I say those foam rollers?
You're talking about something the size of a paint roller, except like a foam? Or
yeah, it's probably a little bit bigger than that, but it's the same exact concept. It's like a round, you know, device where you could press your leg on that when you're trying to roll a knot out of the muscle or break up a spasm or something. But yeah. I had her get down, and I tell you what, just looking at her face, you would think that I stabbed her with 1,000 knife blades and how painful it was. And she's going, man, I did not know that the muscles were that excruciatingly tender. And, of course, as I kind of coaxed her into sticking with it and trying to work those knots out, she was able to get up. She goes, oh, my goodness, my knees don't hurt all of a sudden. I'm saying, good. Go and do that when you get home tonight. And so with the varicose vein, I bet you anything, we would find somewhere along the chain of command in your leg that we're going to find some tight restrictions in the muscles. And so a foam exercise roller would be a good way to counter sitting in a 18-wheeler all day long or whatever size truck it is.
Yeah, that's basically.
The other thing is, one of the simple tests that I'll do to see what is the functional integrity of a person's hips and legs is I'll just have them stand up flat-footed without shoes on and see if they can keep their feet flat on the ground while they squat as fully as possible. And when I say squat, I want you to think about a kid that's just squatting all the way down. And I don't know if you know this or not, but typically, before a child can learn to walk, they've got to crawl first, and then they've got to be able to squat. It's just one progression leads to the next. So if you can squat all the way down with your knees fully, fully bent, basically your bottom is resting against your calf muscles or on the back of your leg while your feet are on the ground, then you've got some tight restriction, and that definitely affects the dynamics of your venous blood flow. So if you were to sit in church on Sunday morning, that is if the church actually meets on Sunday morning because of the coronavirus, if you cross your legs, does that left leg tend to go to sleep more than the right leg does?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Okay, well, you're proving my point for me then. So anyway, so if we can find out where these knots are in the muscles, if we can work those out through stretching, exercises, a foam roller, then you might relieve a lot of that pressure, because one of the studies that I've read, I'm trying to think when I saw this last, this might have been 2 years ago, so, you know, if I just kind of tell you 2 years, just trust me on it. I'm close. But they showed that when somebody had varicose veins, the question was asked, can these be reduced if they're small, if a person walks every day? And the answer was yes. Now, you're going to counter me, and you're going to say, well, how long did it take to reduce the varicose veins? And that was usually between a year and a half and 2 years. So I'm not trying to be unreasonable and tell you that when 1 week of walking will make them disappear and go away.
Yeah, if I changed occupations, which I think I'm going to end up doing, that was going to be my next question. Is it going to take a year or two? And you're just
I think I'm being straight. That's not to disappoint you. Now, have you considered F-15 fighter pilot? Have you thought about that profession?
They don't have much room to move their legs.
Oh, I didn't think that through, rats. Okay, so let me tell you two or three other things that I want you to consider. There is an element that I just referred to called zinc. I always think with a varicose vein, and there's some discomfort or lack of proper blood flow, I always think about zinc because of its ability to improve blood flow. So you might consider that.
What I was going to ask you, because I was thinking about also, let me just ask you before I forget, compression sock, would it be good for me to put a compression sock on while I'm at work?
Well, let me work it from both angles. The answer is yes, you can try that very easily, but they have those compression socks, or they have the compression sleeves like, you know, the athletes would wear when they're running in the Olympic races. So you can do all those things, but when you wear a compression sleeve, it's really doing the job replacing your muscle tone. Now, I would just say, here's an opportunity. You can improve the tone of your legs. So if a muscle is tight, it automatically is weaker than what it would be if it were not tight. So if the muscle was more relaxed, it would have better tone. Thus, it would have better blood flow. Now, in saying that, you can wear a compression sock. You can wear a compression sleeve over the calf. All you do is, if you're going to get a compression sleeve, make sure you take a tape measure, like a paper, fabric one, wrap it around your calf and find out what your dimensions are. So if yours is exactly 15 and a half inches, do not get a compression sleeve that's made for 12 inches. It will cut your circulation off. It's just too tight. So as long as you measure, it should be fine. Now, number two, Do you know? Does your wife ever cook beets for you?
Beans?
Beets. B-E-E-T-S.
Oh, beets. Oh, yeah. Now, you know what? We haven't eaten beets as much. Well, out of a can sometimes, but.
Well, but that still counts. But what I was going to say is, whether it's beet powder or beet juice or pickled beets or, you know, cooking beets and serving them for supper, that's right. been shown to improve blood flow in the legs because beets are a source of what are called nitrates. And nitrates make it easy for your body to generate what's called nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is a compound that can increase blood flow. So beets sometimes are super fabulous for improving the endurance of the legs. And so let me ask you a follow-up question. Do your legs feel light? Do you feel like you're springy when you walk? Like, oh my goodness, I'm like an athlete. Or do they feel like a little bit sluggish or stiff?
Progressively over the last few years, my legs have gotten heavier and stiffer.
Well, and I'm going to say that's going to be part and parcel when you have congestion of venous blood. The blood just kind of, there's some back pressure on it, starts to pool up. So no. Between zinc, there's an herb called Collinsonia root. That is worth a look. I like what's called Ceruta. That's C-Y-R-U-T-A.
Okay.
Sometimes that's very beneficial, but the name of the game is you got to give your legs a reason to have better blood flow. And so if you did just two exercises, one's called a goblet squat and the other one's called a lunge. If you do not have great flexibility of your hips and the pelvis and the knees and the ankles, well, you've got to restore that. And so the test is just squatting down on the ground for 10 minutes. If you can squat on the ground for 10 minutes without your legs going to sleep, then I'd say you've got perfect form and function. Well, form. I'd have to see a video of you squatting. I'm joking about that. Don't see me squatting. But if you will, you can test squatting all the way to the ground and see if you can maintain that position for 10 minutes. It can be challenging. But I would say...
That's what I could shoot for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and the only thing I'm trying to do with you is, if we find an area of weakness, like there's a tight muscle, well, let's go after that. Let's attack that and correct it. If we find you have a lack of flexibility, well, what is the key? Restoring the flexibility to restore function. And all these things greatly improve blood flow. And so I think that you've got a great question, and you're really asking something awesome. And so all we can do is run toward it and attack it and try to get you well.
Zinc and beets and that other...
Collinsonia root and Ceruta. Yeah. Those are things that are very beneficial. I think vitamin C is a home run also. But one of those foam exercise rollers, like I told you, I got one at Five Below for like $5.
Right.
If you want one with a famous athlete signature on it, you can pay $79.95.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no.
I heard your wife laughing in the background.
Yeah. So I'm not too enthused with athletes nowadays anyway because of all that's been going on. But anyway, I'm going to do that. And I was already starting to do some exercise. I looked at a woman called Dr. Cho online. My wife found her. And she mentioned some of the exercises and, you know, demonstrates them, what you can do to help pump that blood back up and instead of it pulling in your veins and stuff. And so,
if you've got some stiffness or some tightness or your legs feel heavy, then right. I think this is going to be a gold mine of information for you.
Right. I that's what I want to do. I want to blitz it with everything that I can do, you know, and how do you undo something like that? That's going to take more than just.
Absolutely. I mean, you did not have an expectation. I was going to say, why don't you take some Plavix? It's a blood thinner. Or why don't you take some aspirin? That's a blood thinner.
No, you knew.
I wasn't going to say that.
I didn't call Roy Morgan.
Well, no. I'm just joking. We're on the same page on that. But
Yeah.
You know, unless you look at this for what it is, you could try a million, you know, simple things that just wouldn't even work. So do this right here and let's see what we can find out.
I will.
You see how good I am at spending $4 and $5 of your money on a foam exercise roller?
Yeah, I know.
I just blew it.
I'm into cheap fixes. A cheap fix with a lot of self-discipline, that's what probably will fix.
Which is
it,
the
know?
Best fix and of all.
It is. And I was, when I'm praying, I need to pray for discipline to do everything, you know what I mean? Because that's one of our biggest problems. People
could
don't want to.
Could you imagine that your great grandfather 100 years ago, he probably walked 20 miles a day just doing normal, you know, farm work?
Yeah, my one grandfather, he died before I was born, but yeah, he was in the mines up in Pennsylvania. I mean, he died of that black lung, but he was
going after coal deposits.
Yeah,
man.
He probably never. He didn't live old enough or be slow enough to because things weren't automated to ever even see a varicose vein. You know what I mean? So
no, he did not make it that far to see a varicose vein. Aren't you so? I'm so thankful that I'm not having to go down in a mine and dig coal today.
You know, both my grandfathers did it. Both ended up with black lung. One had to move to Florida so he could breathe in the wintertime, and the other one obviously died early because of it. It was so, you know, it was so bad. But yeah, I'm thankful that I'm living longer and everything, but I've got to, there's some changes I got to make and everything to,
because you want your body to last.
Yeah, right. I need it to last for however long the Lord wants it to, you know what I mean, to be using me. So,
well, as long as you're breathing, he can use you, right?
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay. I appreciate it, Roy.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you much. Bye-bye. Okay, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'll share this with you because I think this is good information. Okay, here's a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan. I called last week about my daughter and her gallbladder.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just had to give you a report. Oh, my gosh.
Is she worse?
It turned around like immediately.
It did, man. I never once thought that would work out. Keep going.
Well, I'm telling you what, she quit. She was in so much pain. She said, Mom, I'm about to go to the emergency room. This was like Saturday night. I said, nope. I said, I got beet juice. I got the tart cherry juice. I got milk thistle, dandelion tea, lemon juice.
Mom, take me to the ER, and you said no?
I said, no, we're going to do it. I said, didn't he heal your feet with the fish oil when you had cracked, bleeding feet when you were in fifth grade? She said, yes. I said, well, this is what we're going to do. I said, if you get your gallbladder out, this will happen, you know. So she did it Sunday, and I'm not kidding, by Monday afternoon, no pain at all whatsoever.
Wow.
Of course, she quit drinking the soft drink. She quit eating all the
bad
food. And the surgeon's office called Wednesday. She goes, Mom, I think that's them. I said, just answer it because they'll keep calling. And they were scheduling her because they saw some gallstones to get her gallbladder out.
That's right.
And she said, well, my mom had given me some natural things. And she said,
like
I don't
the way,
have
the way
pain.
She blamed you for that, but keep going.
Yeah. She said, I don't have any pain, so I'm going to be okay. And they were like, well, we'll keep your, your name and your chart here and just give us a call if there's
any,
you know. But they said she went and picked up her report. She's an x-ray tech, so she kind of knows a little bit about
medical stuff. Of course.
So she picked up her report, and there was just, you know, a few, but they were not, they were kind of like fluid. They were not like stuck somewhere. I forgot how.
Yeah, but if those can just dissolve and break into small pieces and be passed very quietly, that'd be perfect.
But I was talking to my friend last night who also listens to you from Denver, and she said, you need to call him tomorrow because we set a timer to listen to you. She said, and I said, you know, I didn't think about it, but I'm going to do that. I'm just going to say thank you.
Oh, that's great. You made my day today. Thank you so much.
And she is, she's singing your praises, so I appreciate it.
Well, you just got to give her all my love. She just did so great.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And thank you, because I'm telling you,
good.
They would have taken it out and not thought a thing about it. I mean, she would have suffered.
No.
With, like you said, migraines and diarrhea.
Well, potentially, yeah. Absolutely.
Potentially.
I see it all the time.
Okay. Well,
okay,
I'll
thanks.
Go, no, Keith, I just wanted
thank
to
you. Thanks for your encouragement. Bye. That was great. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So what do we do now? Well, we encourage the young lady to stay the course and keep doing what she's been doing, because most likely what will happen is we'll encourage those gallstones just to be passed very quietly without any fanfare. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I have a question about nerve problems. I've had a little trouble with my sciatic nerve lately, but I have more trouble with my arms going to sleep at night. Like last night I woke up around 12 and nothing would do but me to get up. And every time I go back to sleep, you know, they go to sleep again. You have any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a miserable feeling to wake up with your arms going to sleep.
They do it every night, so.
Well, do you think of yourself as being a very active person?
Real active.
Do you feel like you have good posture?
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like your shoulders are in a good place, or do you feel like they're slightly rounded forward?
Oh, they're probably slightly rounded forward.
There's a stretch that I'll have people do. I call it through the doorway stretch. And so what right. You would do is you'd walk up to a doorway, and before you stretch through the doorway or the trim on the door, you'd hold your hands up like the hold-up position, you know, like if somebody
right.
pulls a water gun on you, say, I will squirt you, your money or your life, and you'll go, don't shoot. But if you would do that through the doorway stretch, what you're trying to do is you're trying to open that up so you can have good venous blood flow from the tips of your fingers through the shoulders. But most likely we would find with an examination that you've got some tight restrictions
Either
in the chest or the shoulder.
Okay.
And so we can just work those knots out.
All right.
I have some people just use foam exercise rollers on that shoulder and chest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll try that. I've used that exercise a long time ago, but I may be able to try it again. All right.
Well, do you remember it working?
Well, it was for something else. I had what they call frozen shoulders at the time. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
But I'll tell you, it was terrible.
Did you completely recover from that?
Yes. It took 3 months before I could, you know, go to sleep in like over 3 hours.
Do you feel like your shoulders are strong?
Well, I play a lot of golf, and I hit it a long way still for 78. So,
cool. Do you use your golf clubs to kind of stretch your arms and shoulders out before you play?
Not a whole lot. A little bit. You know, I warm up a little bit.
Now, your name is not Ben Hogan, is it?
No, it's my dad.
Okay, that's what I thought.
No,
that's great. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, I think that was Arnold Palmer just then on the phone. I recognized his voice. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Just as a simple idea, a lot of people have called today with circulatory issues. Sometimes all I have to give a person is a little bit of cayenne pepper to correct circulatory weakness. Just consider that. Good morning. Thank you so much for your phone call today.
Circulatory issues.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm trying to get the radio off on my iPad. Okay.
There you go.
I've got a couple of questions from Dr. Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm on listener frail, and my muscles are starting to get real bound up. They're staying stiff all the time.
Yeah.
I can't stretch enough to get them to be limber. Now, is lisinopril, is that a statin?
No, it's not. It's not. It's a blood pressure medication. But what I was going to do is I was going to counter and say this right here. The lady that called earlier this morning was talking about using a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K2. And so it's very common with blood pressure issues. If somebody is low in K2, they start getting real stiff. I know I'm kind of making it sound pretty simplistic, but if you're low in vitamin K2, that's when the stiffness starts to build up in the body. Or stiffness can build up. Could you imagine what it would be like if you had children sit around you and say, here, sit on the ground, let's cross our legs Indian style and stay there for 30 minutes? What would that be like trying to get up after 30 minutes?
I'd have to be unfolded and have assistance.
That means we'd have to call 911. But it would be, but that would be tough on your body, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
And so let me give you a different idea right here. There's a very famous herb called hawthorn.
Sure.
Hawthorn has a very unique ability to help the heart function better. Now, let me walk it back just one point. You're only going to be as healthy and live as long as your arteries and your veins and your muscles are supple and pliable and elastic and flexible. Because when they start getting rigid and stiff, that's when your blood pressure starts to go up. So maybe this is a different interpretation. If you're taking a drug called lisinopril to lower blood pressure, what that means is your arteries are becoming stiffer. They're losing their flexibility. And so if I was going to come up with a plan to try to restore your flexibility, I would say this. If you could consider, instead of maybe eating refined foods or sugar, I'm not judging you and saying that I know that you are. I'm just kind of talking through it for the sake of everybody listening. If you could say, "What? I wonder if I could be satisfied by eating prunes or apricots or cherries or blackberries, strawberries, and blueberries." When you eat berries, they have all these unique bioflavonoid compounds that actually promote great flexibility of your arteries. Now, years ago, I was reading this study from the Southwestern Medical School up between Dallas and Fort Worth, and they looked at everything they could to find out what makes arteries stiff. And what they would do is, when a person passed away, they would donate, I guess, body parts to science, but they could keep their arteries alive. And so they could remove a coronary artery from the heart, and they could keep it alive in the test tube setting or in a lab setting. And they found out that when they injected insulin into the solution where the artery was alive, it caused hardness and calcification almost instantly. So to me, this is a really, really big deal. So whatever you do, you're trying to make sure that you get your insulin levels down. And there's a lot of ways to do that. Number one, if you were to exercise every day or walk every day or start, I don't know what your age is. I'm guessing from your voice somewhere around 23, 24, because I'm usually very accurate at my...
Oh, thank you.
How close did I get? Well, pretty close, right? No, but as we age, I don't think it's reasonable for a man that's like above 50 years old to push his body really hard by doing high-impact aerobics and maybe what I'd say CrossFit or HIIT training or like heavy, heavy running. But I do believe that walking is one of the best exercises of all time. And I believe that stretching is just essential. If you want to have a body that's usable, you're going to have to keep it strong. I mean, I've said this so many times, I probably sound like a broken record on a Saturday morning, but the number one predictor of how long you're going to walk this earth and be alive is how physically strong you are. So let me just ask, is there any room for improving your physical strength?
Oh, yes. Last week I walked 2 miles two mornings and then 3 miles three mornings. I mean, two other mornings.
Oh man, you're awesome. That's great.
Well, I just started doing that.
But that's good though.
But it's making my muscles stiffer. I mean.
Well, and let me float an idea your direction. Most likely, you've had some things out of balance with your body, and you're going to have a whole bunch of waste and debris that starts coming out of those stiff muscles, and that's probably part of it. But I can assure you that will pass. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, if you ate, and this is just depending on where you are, But if you tried a technique called intermittent fasting or like an 8-hour feeding window, your fortunes would turn on a dime for the better. So if you ate just two meals a day, say 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and skip breakfast, your body would start cleaning all this debris out. It's called autophagy. And it would work like a champ. But if you have more stiffness with exercise, you might want to consider supplementing with a little bit of extra vitamin C. And I have no problem with you eating watermelons. The latest study that I read shows that men that eat a little bit of watermelon, they have the least amount of muscle stiffness. Now, your problem is, how do you sneak onto Farmer Brown's watermelon patch at 12 midnight without getting shot with some rock salt by stealing a watermelon?
Well, my wife ironically bought some watermelon juice 2 weeks ago.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I tried it, but the sugar content is, seems to be too high.
If you got a regular watermelon with seeds, that has the lowest sugar content. The hybrids okay. without seeds got the most sugar, and the juice, even more sugar.
All right, on the K2, somebody was telling me there's a lot of difference between K2s of what you buy.
Well, technically, the scientific name is called minoquinone 4 and minoquinone 7. So if it says MK4 and MK7, I think those are good bets.
So it'd be MK4?
Yeah, when you spin the label around, and if it says this vitamin K2 contains... Can I just make up some numbers here? Let's just say it says it contains 165 micrograms of MK4 and 1,000 micrograms of NK7. That would work.
Okay. I'm also on Xarelto and
Metoprolol.
Thank you.
I can barely say it myself. Don't feel bad at all. I'm constantly butchering the names of drugs like metoprolol. Well, and what you're doing is you're trying to get your insulin levels down, so this is really a brilliant plan that you have going for a walk. I'm so proud of you. The other thing, if you would prayerfully and thoughtfully consider just eating two meals a day. Now, one of those meals, I'm just talking about my fantasy world right here, but if you had one green salad a day, that would provide you an excellent source of what are called alkaline ash minerals. And it may be that when you have that green salad, if you tell me you want to put some meat in it like chicken or something like that, that would be perfectly fine. But when you've got stiffness, I always try to greatly reduce the content of grains and sugar in the diet because that increases insulin, which makes your body stiff. You got to remember, anything that's inflamed, your body's going to calcify, which means the more inflamed you are, the stiffer you get, and we're trying to reverse all that. I personally think it's going to be safe for you to eat some frozen cherries every day if you want. Now, this is what I would do. You may not be asking me that question, but I'm telling you what I would do in the situation. I would take the juice of a lemon, probably two lemons a day, and just squeeze it thoroughly, get the juice out of it, because the lemon juice... That stuff is going to be one of the most precise, gentle, accurate solvents that I know of. Because right now, with the stiffness, your body is begging you to scrub it clean and detoxify. And so we got to give it a reason to do that. So your walking is going to have a huge payoff. It may not be exactly right now the way that you want, but if you will be faithful and continue, down the road, you'll start to see a difference. But if I could convince you to focus on meat and vegetables with maybe a little bit of fruit like blackberries or raspberries or blueberries or something like that, that would go a long way to getting you to a much better place.
All right. Well, thank you. A pharmacist suggested maybe trying some red rice yeast extract. He says he has to compound it. But anyway, he said that is what he's recommending to clients or customers that are having reaction to statins.
I mean, you can do that. I don't know if that really moves the needle and gets you into a healthy stud like you want to be.
Right. Well, nothing's going to take the place of exercise. And eat
well,
right.
And yeah, you're going to have to eat, and you're going to have to use your mind that God's given you to focus on what do I need to do to move the needle and exercise. You're right. But I would say I have just a fundamental different perspective than probably everybody else on this issue. I find it very hard to believe that taking something like, you know, a cholesterol-lowering drug radically improves your health on any level. It just does not. If anything, it's a recipe for causing diabetes. I mean, the latest studies show that if you take a cholesterol-lowering drug for 7 years' duration, it's almost a guarantee you're going to develop adult-onset type 2 diabetes. How is that improving health? That's like a train wreck metabolically. If you want to wreck your health, diabetes would be one of the ways of doing that, right?
Yes, it would be. I'm surprised at my weight condition. I'm not a diabetic.
Well, evidently your body's strong enough internally. By the way, I'm not picking on diabetics. I'm just saying if we can see the writing on the wall and take a different course of action to avoid it, that would be worth so much. I mean, I know you well enough to know just by listening to you talk. You want to be productive. You want to be a robust man that can do anything that God sets in front of him. And your ticket to doing that is your physical health and probably mental, emotional, and spiritual health, you know, all wrapped up in one package. So if you give up grains and sweets and processed foods and just have meat and vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and eat two meals a day, you're going to do better than anybody else. And if you keep your mind set like Flint, you're going to keep walking every day. This is fabulous, man.
I do appreciate the information. My neighbor across the street got on that 11-7 diet a year ago, and he lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I don't see him that much, but...
Well, there's not much to see.
No. Well, he's 6'7".
Well, when he turns sideways, you can barely see him, right? He can hide behind a light post.
No, he looked like he was a linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a good guy.
Well, you can.
He's in really good shape.
Good. Well, he can be somebody that can be your iron sharpened iron encourager. This is good.
Well, I appreciate the information.
Oh, you're welcome. I am totally rooting for you.
I don't know if this would be helpful to any of your listeners. I had a bleeding intestine. It was bleeding into my body, and I wasn't able. I was able to take iron supplements and stuff. This went on for several months, and anyway, there was a.
You mean before they figured it out?
Well, they just kept giving me iron.
But did they know that you had sprung a leak in your intestines?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm with you.
But it wasn't bad enough that the iron couldn't somewhat maintain.
Yeah, kind of keep it at bay.
Anyway, a nurse practitioner told me. Take magnesium. He said it'll strengthen your blood vessel walls.
And did it?
And it quit.
Well, yeah. Looky there, just plain magnesium. Way to go.
Well, it worked for me, and I'm just sharing that.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your phone call. That was good information. I appreciate you, man. And you're on the right track. Keep it up.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I pushed the button before he's finished. Forgive me. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm blessed, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you do for frozen fingers? I call it frozen. I had surgery on my hand, and I have frozen fingers.
Well, one thing we can do is we can freeze your fingers.
freeze my frozen fingers.
Freeze your frozen fingers. I can't even say it. If you took like a bowl of water and you put a tray of ice in there and you submerged your hand in there, that's one of the ways of trying to correct this, because when you put your hand in ice cold water, your body's releasing what are called cold shock proteins. And so if I were to ask you one or two questions, I would ask this. From the start to the finish, how long have you had these frozen fingers?
The surgery was done back in December, and I've been in therapy several times.
Well, this is a long time to have an issue that's not resolving. Is it getting better or no?
Not really.
Well, this ain't good.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying that is the longer a condition persists in being, the longer it takes to resolve it, because you start ingraining these patterns of neurology and all sorts of stuff, and it's just harder to fix. Now, I'm not saying it to be negative, but I'd say, let me just tell you what you can do, and then I'm going to let you sort through this and find out what you want to do, because it's ultimately it's up to you. Number one, you could submerge your hand in a bucket of ice cold water 10 minutes twice a day. You can do that every single day. Number next, you can get some hand exercise putty and you can start squeezing it even though it hurts. You can do that all day long. You could purchase what's called Aztec or Indian healing clay. And you could take either apple cider vinegar or water or olive oil, and you could stir this stuff up in a bowl and you can make this very interesting slimy mud. You think, what would it be like to be a potter spinning and making a bowl out of mud? But it's a mud pack. But there's something about this Indian healing clay that acts like a magnetically charged magnet. That didn't even sound right. But it acts like a magnet to pull debris from out of the hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that very much. I mean, that's the one thing that stopped my my hand pain from waking me up in the middle of the night. I don't want to talk about me, but I know what it's like to have bad hand pain, and that fixed it instantly. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you could start rubbing olive oil twice a day all over your hands and your forearms, and you could start massaging them. Maybe your next door neighbor would like to come rub and massage your hands for you every day. Is his name Mr. Clean? So you can do that. You can start doing very, very aggressive stretching of each one of the digits. There's like 1,000 videos on YouTube to explain how to do that. You can start sunbathing your hands every day. Now, what I would do also, they sell what's called a hand paraffin bath. I'm trying to think, is it 4 parts paraffin to 1 part mineral oil? But you just get these slow cookers, put the paraffin and the mineral oil in there. They sell them online for like $12. All you do is you dip your hand that doesn't work right down in the wax. It's just like they do at Dairy Queen. They make an ice cream cone, and they dip it in the chocolate and pull it back up.
I used to do that.
Well, that's your problem. You need to dip your hand down the chocolate.
I know.
No, so if you will. If you had a hand paraffin bath, do you know what I'm talking about?
I've not heard of that.
Well, if you wrote down hand paraffin or hand wax bath,
okay.
If you went on eBay or Amazon, they sell them all day long. And the last one I saw, I think it was $12. And so what you can do is you dip, say, 7 to 10 layers of hot wax. Not hot. I mean hotter than body temperature. But if you did that for 10 layers and then wrapped it in saran wrap and put a towel around it, that's a wonderful therapy.
Okay.
The next thing you can do is you can try these LED light therapies. The one that I'm probably most familiar with is called the DPL Flex. You just plug it in. It emits this red wavelength of light, but what it does is it causes your stem cells to come to the area that's not working right. And it helps your body to heal. So what do you think about my idea so far?
Well, I like all of them.
How many more do you need? How many of these are you currently doing right now?
none of these right here. I do exercises every day.
Well, why don't you hit the ground running on all these other ones and see if you don't start making some progress in the right direction?
Yes, and then they put me in this, I have this brace that curves the fingers down. You're trying to force the fingers to curve.
Force the fingers to curve.
Yeah, it forces like a, it's like being in traction almost. Pulling the fingers down toward the palm of the hand. 1 hour, twice a day.
Okay.
Trying to get the fingers to bend.
And maybe that will work, but that's something that's forcing your body to work right. And what I want is I want the reverse of that.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to use your mind to increase nerve transmissions to your fingers, making those fingers work and do what you want. Because every time you use your mind to make your fingers work right, you're trying to reinforce neurological pathways. How do you think a child learns how to walk? They got to start off rolling over on their tummy, and then after a while they start to push up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like I told the gentleman earlier, the child's got to be able to get in the squatting position first and hold that before they can start walking.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know what we could do is we could just have you crawl in the yard like a crab walk and a bear crawl. Your neighbors won't think there's anything weird going on if you're just crawling on your hands and feet.
No, they wouldn't think it. They would just know it.
Oh, they would just know it? Well, yes. You probably don't want to put on like a bright, you know, purple dress or white silk dress while you do this, because they would say, what's going on over there in that front yard? I think not that long ago I read the article about drinking grape juice to reduce stiffness in the arteries and joints.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had stiff hands that were painful and they weren't recovering, the number one thing I would look at is how much sugar the person's eating.
Okay.
Do you eat sugar?
I pull way from it. I rarely eat it anymore.
Well, that's a good call. But you got to give your body a reason to become flexible again. So,
well, you know, when I was eating more sugar, I realized one thing about my hand. It would ache.
Yeah. How about that? If you even just tackle each of these things that I said, you'll be a new person in 3 days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Meaning you'll be better. I didn't say I can completely rebuild a hand in like 3 days, but it will be enough to encourage you that what you're doing is the right thing and you're moving in the right direction.
Yes. Okay, so we're putting it in ice water 10 minutes twice a day.
Yes.
And exercise with...
when's the last time you've been on YouTube and typed in
severe
hand pain, what exercises can I do to help myself?
I haven't.
And how long has this been going on again for?
I had surgery December the 2nd.
You have got to be completely sick of this at this point, right?
I am, because I have a lot of sensations that's going on with the hand.
Well, listen, you're just going to have to take the bull by the horns and be your own advocate and just attack this.
Yes.
Do not wait for them to come up with a brilliant plan B, which could be 6 months from now. I do not want you to be like Miriam, who extends her hand and it's withered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, what king did I read about? Oh, one of the prophets told him, maybe it was Jeroboam or Rehoboam, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed his finger and his hand withered. I thought, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Don't talk back against the Word of God. But you have got to get after this young lady. Please save yourself. Stop waiting for your doctor to call you at 2:00 in the morning and say, I've been thinking about you for 2 weeks now and how your hand's not working right, and it's been 7 months, practically 8 months. That ain't going to happen.
No, even the incision feels like it was just done yesterday.
I don't... Okay, I'm at a complete loss here. This is just borderline ridiculous. Something's not healing right. So the question is, what are we going to do to help your body heal? What are we going to do? You could actually start rubbing olive oil all over your hand.
I have been using not the olive oil, but
That's really the only reason I brought that up, is to specifically say olive oil. Olive oil. I don't know if you caught that. Olive oil.
I got you.
All right. Well, thank you for your help today. I've gone a little bit long.
Oh, bless your heart.
All righty. Have a good day.
Castor oil.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.